Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say, then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
About the
study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's about a clear understanding of him, a bird's eye view, critical analysis, and assessment, leaving no stone or twig unturned, crossing every T and dotting every I, so we can come to some conclusion. What is a codified relationship with him? See, you can't, there's an uncodified way to worship and deal with the Most High and follow his footsteps, which is leading to your own understanding. And there's a codified way. And the Most High has left this codified way. And that is the only way you can make the right application. Lean into your understanding, not so much, but a codified way. That's why we do these studies. And you may be asking yourself, who is the we? Sister Hootie from Detroit, Michigan, is one of the lead student investigators. Cartier from, Sister Hootie from Detroit, Michigan. And Cartier from New York City is one of the lead student investigators. And why do I say students? Yamsu too. Because in this life, we're all students. We're all evolving. And so by virtue, we're not masters of anything. We're students of everything the Most High has set before us. And so we should be. But before we get started, I want to make some comments. And yes, Avia of New York City, she is our gatekeeper. What is a gatekeeper? She keeps us on the fast track, right track. When we get off the track and we have to find out where we are, because we're elders, sometimes we get off track. She had to remind us, no, you're there, you're not there. But before we get started, I'd like to make comments on contemporary subject matters. A Northeastern is fast approaching this Western Hemisphere, the so-called United States of America, which will affect about 75 million people. Lights will be out, lives will be in jeopardy. A bridge has just failed in Philadelphia. Seems like the Most High is all over the place now, isn't he? Hail in Jamaica. Man, the Most High ain't playing. It ain't Mother Nature. Stop with the nonsense. Don't get it twisted. This is the Most High shaking everybody up. For what reason, I don't know. I don't have a red line phone. I'm not Batman, okay? But I know that he's shaking up everybody. But I pray for those. And the Eastern Seaboard, especially for Cartier and Sister Avion, perhaps Sister Hootie. She may be in the line of the storms. And for many more of our brothers and sisters and father nations also. So, without further ado, let me bring on Sister Hootie from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is out. Shalom.
Hold our rabbi, as they say. Thank you very much for blessing me through the Most High. Same for you and who all's listening on the line. Yes, we're getting, it's just cold.
Mm-hmm.
But my heart is thinking about the people who is in the path of this storm. This storm is horrible.
Yeah, it's a bad mama jumbo.
Yes, this is not a joke.
No.
So I pray for the people. What I pray for is that they're able to have electricity or a place to go, you know?
Exactly. A warm shelter, right. And able to get there.
Right. Oh, guess what? Y'all president did. I knew he was going to do that. send some troops over there to Ukraine. So we're going to see how this is going to turn out.
It may be a hot mess.
Well, you know, Putin did tell, was it Biden? Did tell him, kind of a threat about a year ago. Maybe not
right.
That long ago. It was under Biden. I don't think it was under Trump.
Right.
And so many words, don't mess with them. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
We'll see about that.
Yes, we will.
All right. Thank you very much, Sister Judy. Cartier, our dear brother from New York City, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing? What's up, bless
doing
you?
Doing okay, brother. Bless you too, my brother.
Bless. And you too. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. You know, the blessings we can get. We used to these snowstorms in the Northeast. Uh-huh. They make it like it's going to be disastrous, but 6 to 12 inches is not really much for New York City. Yeah. I know that Virginia, 2 inches of snow, they panic. But New York City? I'm serious. 2 inches of snow, anything shuts down in Virginia. I'm like, damn. Mm-hmm. 2 inches?
Yeah.
But New York, that's money-making time. 12 inches of snow, a foot of snow, people out, shoveling people's cars out, sidewalks, money-making.
Making a killing.
Huh? Making a killing.
Making a killing.
But it hasn't been much snow this winter here in the Northeast, so this will probably be the first major storm that we get. But I know when I was younger, it's more frequent. We got way more frequent snowstorms here in New York than we're getting now. And I ain't complaining, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Well, I guess because we heard, Cottrell, that in some places in the East will be, I don't know if it's part of New York State, 70 miles per hour wind. That's what. I think Yansu was commenting on.
Yeah, I think they said they're going to be blinding because it's hurricane-like winds.
Right.
Around. Yeah, right.
This hope is not, even though sometimes they make it worse than what it is, but I'm with you on that, that hopefully it's no 70 miles, because 70 miles is fast. And it's,
man, what you said? That's faster than a car on the expressway.
Yeah. That's like borderline tornado winds.
You're right.
I guess they can say that the snow will be on the trees and the power lines.
Right.
When winds blow, they'll knock them over.
Right. And then I think it's kind of hard to stand up in weather wind like that. It's kind of hard for you to stand up 75 miles. You couldn't go out the house.
Well, fortunately, we're going into the weekend. Mm-hmm. And most people probably be off the road and in their houses. Tomorrow and Sunday.
Exactly. Right.
But it ain't nothing like the fires in California. I'd rather deal with this than the fires that they was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
What, in California?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on there, you said?
I said I'd rather deal with the snow here than with the fires that they had to deal with in California.
Oh, yes. But not only that. I was just looking at a documentary and reading how the homeless there has tripled.
It's going to be all
crazy.
Yeah, the way the economy is going as far as the inflation. And inflation is concerned, it's going to be a whole lot of more homeless people.
Now, some say it's already a recession, and then you have people who are in political science and whatever saying it's going to be a recession. So I just look at it for what it is and keep living. Listen, but I keep living. And go to the MoFi.
Raise up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fellow investigators, student investigators, let's get started, shall we? May the MoFi bless us. Let his footsteps be our pathways. Turn to the 23rd chapter of Isaiah. Let me give you let me lay the foundation for Tyre. They are Phoenicians. As you recall, King Ahaz was married to a Phoenician. They looked remotely like us. Why? They are Shemitic people. They were not Israelites, but they were Shemitic type people. They were.
You mean King Ahaz?
Yeah, I said King Ahaz.
Not Ahaz, but King Ahab.
Yeah, King Ahab.
Oh, Ahab.
Yeah. There's a King Ahaz, and there's a King Ahab. Yeah, so just
King Ahaz. Right, King Ahab was married to Jezebel.
Mm.
And the reason why I'm saying this is this. Before Assyria and before so-called Alexander the Great, before their total destruction, and before the migration of these Greek-looking and Arab-looking immigrants, and they are the face of Tyre and Phoenicia, Cyprus now, they didn't look like that. They look like us because they are Shemitic people. They were. And if you go back and look in the images, you will see what I'm talking about. And why was the Most High incensed with Tyre, Phoenician, Cyprus? Because obviously we must have had a relationship with these people, especially in the case of King Ahab marrying one of the Phoenicians. And you know us. We love people that look like us, and we love to go and worship their gods too. And they were a powerful seagoing people. They were merchants. So they were all over the universe. So I wouldn't be surprised if some turned out in the Americas and so on and so forth. They were seagoing people. They knew the seas, and they were quite prosperous. But they irked the Most High for whatever reasons. As I said, they had many gods. And you know us, we like to hang out with folks got many gods. But the Most High ensured their destruction, first by Assyria, then the complete destruction by so-called Alexander the Great. And he got rid of them. And you know, back in the ancient time, they didn't just destroy you. They moved you out. Keep them doggies moving, rawhide. And they migrated other people into the community whom they could control. So let's get started in our studies. And Tyre, which were the Phoenicians. How you ship some tars. As I said, they were a great merchant nation. For havoc had been wrought, not a house left. And surely in the case of King, so-called Alexander the Great, as they came from the land of Kittim, Cyprus, this was revealed to them. Moan, you coastline dwellers, you traders of Sidon, once thrown by seafarers over many waters. They became quite prosperous at this. Your revenue came from the trade of nations, from the grain of Shehor, Mizraim, the harvest of the Nile. Be ashamed, O Sidon. For the sea, the stronghold of the sea declares, I am as one who has never been labored, never given birth, never raised youth. O reared maidens, when the Mizraims heard it, they quailed. They were afraid because of the fact. Destruction of Sidon, the seafarers, is when they heard about Tyre. Pass on to Tarshish. How, you coastline dwellers, with such a merry city, former times of yore, did her feet carry her off to Sidon? As I said, they pushed off the real inhabitants to Sidon far away. And the Most High is being sort of sarcastic. Who was it that planned this? For crown wearing tie, y'all got it going on. Whose merchant were nobles? Whose trader world now? Everybody knew about you. You had it going on. And the Most High tells them, the Elohim host planned your destruction. To defy all glorious beauty. To shame all the honored, or the you honored by the world. Traverse your land like the Nile, cried Tarshish. This is a harlot no more. She won't go on hoarding everywhere and taking her Dollar Tree everywhere. Everybody's looking up to her because she got it going on. The Elohim pours his arm over the sea and made kingdoms quake. It was he decreed destructions for Phoenicia strongholds and said, you shall be gay no more. O plundered one fair maiden, Sidon. Up, cross over to Kittim. Even there you shall have no rest. Behold the land of the Chaldea. This is the people that has ceased to be. Assyria founded it for ships, which raised its watchtowers, erected its ramparts. Even Assyria is not here, has turned it into ruins. Howl, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is destroyed. And that day, Tyre shall remain forgotten for 70 years in the first attack. After that, Alexander the Great came along and did the total destruction of it, equaling the lifeline of one king. After the last of 70 years, it should go with Tyre as with the harlot and the ditty. Take a leer, go about the town, harlot long forgotten, sweetly play. Make much music to bring you back to mind. Everybody forgot about you. For after the lapse of 70 years, the Elohim will take note of Tyre. And she shall resume feet taking and playing the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. But our prophets and higher shall be consecrated to Yah. They shall not be treasured or stored. Rather shall our prophets go to those who abide before the Elohim, that they may eat their field and clothe themselves elegantly. This is futuristic in turn, too, because Phoenician and Tyre, after King Alexander the Great destruction, has never become the land it used to be. But there will be a time, it seems, appears, suggested at first, a restoration of these Shemitic people. But their wealth won't go in their storehouses. It goes to those who trust in the Most High. Praise Yah. Kartriel Shehudi, may the Most High bless you, give you wisdom and understanding, and you have the mic.
Yes, sir. Another interesting chapter,
right,
that we don't really learn about this history of the people of Tyre. About the Tarshish people of Tarshish, people of Cyrus, the Phoenicians. You know, the Phoenicians were seafaring people, and
right,
it is record that they made it all the way across to America. Not only the Phoenicians, but the Egyptians as well.
I believe it.
They don't teach us about these people who were more ancient than the Greeks and the Romans. How about the Medes and the Persians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians? They don't teach
right
of these people in Western institutions, but we see here that the Most High has a lot of focus on them because in ancient times they were powerful people and they had certain reputations that had to be put in check, and the Most High puts them in check. Most of these people that he's talking about, the Phoenicians and the people of Tyre and Mizraim, my book says in 11th verse, he has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has made the kingdoms tremble. Yah has given command concerning Canaan to demolish its strongholds. And we know that he did that when he commanded them to push the Canaanites out of the land that they had polluted. But his attention is on these ancient people, the Chaldeans and the Assyrians and the people of Cyprus. Well, we know Cyprus now is a Greek island. They've taken it over. But there's more to Cyrus than the history of the Greeks.
Patrick, I'm kind of covered. I don't have any time.
Well, you can see that Yah's judgment is not just focused on the nation of Israel. The Most
High
is focusing on all these nations that commit harlotry and idolatry and that's polluting his earth. He wants
mm-hmm.
all the nations to get it right. And he gives them a chance, right?
Exactly.
He said Tyre would be punished for 70 years, and then after 70 years, Yah would visit Tyre again. But he knows that she's going to go back to her prostitution, but he's going to use the wages that Tyre has gained to be stored up for the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So these nations, they only stored up wealth for the Most High.
Right.
Ooh. Interesting.
All right, Cartrell, Sister Shehudi, if we beat that bush, let me see. But some of you fail to realize they were Shemitic people, and I implore you to go look up the so-called Black Phoenicians and see what they actually look like at the very beginning. Because I can imagine Jezebel being looking somewhat remotely like us, too. That's why King Ahab got away with it. And thank you, Katriel, for correcting me on that. That's why King Ahab got away with marrying a Phoenician, because she looked somewhat remotely like us. So I implore you to go and study for yourself and look at the images of what they actually looked like in the very beginning, not like this infusion of migrants that came from the Greeks and the Assyrians and Ishmaelites. Quite different in the very beginning.
So this history is hidden because they know the power of people of color. We had the ancient empires in the past, way before the Greek civilization came on the scene. But we ain't learning nothing about that in public schools, are we?
No.
I bet you if you ask who Tyre was, Tyre, most people would think that you're talking about the wheels of a car.
Right. But see, go ahead, Sister Lee.
I was going to say, you know, it was interesting in my studies that they went by your nationhood, not by the complexion of your skin, our people. And it was their customs and their type of traditions that distinguished who was Israel, because they knew who Israel was. Oh, yes, they did. So you can, because see, I remember in the 90s, and it's not trying to sound funny, but as I was studying the scriptures, I said, where are the white folks at? Because all the research I've done, I said, I don't see any Caucasian people in here in terms of a direct communication, just when so far as Israel dealing with them or other nations are dealing with them. And we've been bamboozled thinking this was at the time a white Bible. We really did. That was a white people, and come find out it was not.
Well, see,
and then they double down in their movies. When you see Prince of Persia or the 300, when they show you the Persians, they don't show you them as black people.
Which would lead
they show you? The true Egyptians. People think Egyptians were white. How could you think that when it's in Africa, the heart of Africa?
Right.
Which would lead
they
us
put it in the Middle East.
Okay, which would lead us to believe that Alexander the so-called Great was the first introduction into universal white great supremacy. Because when that man came on the scene, yes, as Sister Hootie said, we didn't see each other as color, crayons. We saw each other as a nation. But when the first introduction of the universal white great supremacy came in, it's been a monster, it's been a monstrosity, and it continues to be. And the so-called Alexander the Great is the first introduction into this ideology. Let's let people be defined by race, a human concept, a false misnomer, instead of what Yah says, nations.
And when Alexander the Great came on the scene, all hell broke loose.
You
they call it Hellenism.
Yep.
If you study Greek Hellenism.
Helium, you're right. Hello, Hellenos. Hello, hello.
Hellenism, yeah.
Hellenism. Hello.
Do the research on Hellenism. You could tell they were a brutal people, the Greeks.
And they went all the way to India. They conquered all the way to India with that same concept. And leads me to believe that the so-called Indian people were Shemitic-looking people. But they infused their universal white nonsense, and it's still in play over there as a caste system in India now. The whiter you are, the righter you are. It's still over there. It's still poisonous and toxic. And it's still, I'm going to tell the truth. It's still poisonous and toxic. And here's one thing I want people to understand. The Most High didn't tell us to organize against anything. The Most High told us to unify. We do much better as Hebrew Israelites and other nations unify. We've been organizing over here as Hebrew Israelites for a long time. We've been organizing for the March on Washington, organizing for Black Lives Matter, organizing for voting rights. We ain't got a damn thing to show for it. The Most High instructs what organization? The Most High instruction was unification under his codification. That's the problem we got. We don't know how to follow instruction. That's our problem. Go ahead, country.
Are you right? Our dilemma is that we don't get back to our roots. And this is our roots right here. We've been brainwashed into thinking that Greek culture is the cradle of, it is the cradle of Western civilization, but it's not the cradle of all civilization. And the land that they conquered, you mentioned India. We know from the story of Queen Esther, her husband, the king, his territory extended from India to Ethiopia. So whatever territory the Greeks had, they took over from the Medes and the Persians.
Right. And I was telling my wife that back then, they didn't just take over like they do now when they conquer you in battle. Back then, they unstabilized you. They kept you as migrants. They move you out, and they infused that were there. The people that were promoting them like them are people they could control. And that same thing happened to us. They moved us out because they couldn't control us. A lot of nations around about said, you can't control them. They hard-headed. They don't listen to nobody. They're going to be right back at you. We studied this. And we had one of the kings going through the archives. Well, tell me about them. To find out, are they like the nation around about them to send them back? And they wasn't wrong, truth be told. Because we are always, our enemies know us far better than we know ourselves. That's our problem. We like to showboat. And they like to showcase us. We like to showboat. They like to show. Go on TikTok, go on Facebook. There's a whole lot of showcases going on. Showboating. But they like to showcase. They like to show examples of a LeBron James, so-called black actors and acts showcasing. But really has no trickle-down effect for us as a unified nation. It's just for them. But they had that long time ago. This ain't the first time we're showcasing. They've been showcasing us like a fine pony. I got my nice pony in the barn. You want to see him? Yeah, that's what they do. Because if you don't know the history of universal white race supremacy, you'll be totally confused about everything. And it goes along with it. Because that is the last captivity. That is the last captivity universally. It's a mixture of different nations. Is that idol that has the clay mixed with iron. It's not going to stand. It's not meant to last. So when you see America crumbling right before your eyes, don't be surprised.
Wow.
And how clever they have been to switch the minds of the people on a God that looks like them. We're talking about you worshiping a man that you say comes from the tribe of Judah. All right. If you come from the tribe of Judah, you know that Judah's first wife was a Canaanite, a black woman from the tribe, from the nation of Ham, from a Hamitic nation.
A woman of color.
A black woman, yeah. You say Ham was cursed black, then the first wife that Judah had was a Hamite, who you say was cursed black. Tamar. Right?
And then our captivity conscript, co-signing with you, and our captivity in Mizraim. That's what we were doing. They were knocking us off. We were knocking them off. And how all of a sudden you lead and land people that look remotely like us, you come back white. That's virtually impossible. That's crazy as hell. It's virtually impossible to lead and land looking like Hermetic and Shemitic people and you come back white.
Well, they did the impossible, didn't they? Because people are convinced.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You live this, sister. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's like Moses in the place.
I mean, the foolishness of it, of another nation that thinks that. See, we've read over and over many times through the scripture, what's in the dark comes out of the light.
Exactly.
Something's being revealed about how this nation has been since the conception of this nation. And I explained to people that the Constitution and all the laws that were set for them, wasn't set for us. Even though they contradict because it says all men are created equal.
Right.
But, of course, we weren't considered as human beings. And they're kicking themselves in the foot. Right now, I consider American government shooting themselves in the foot. And I say that because of what's going on right now. Even people were found out making $100,000, lost their job and had to go in the line to get food, you know, so.
Exactly.
Our heritage is rich. And it's just phenomenal. And like I said, world or nation, if they're economically sound or not just materially sound, it's because of us. It's because of us. And they will get arrogant and think, well, I worked hard. My immigrants came here, blah, blah. I said, it doesn't matter. It's still because of us.
Well, that phrase, all men are created equal, is the biggest lie they ever told.
Well,
they would not have needed us coming from Africa to work their cotton fields because they could not stand the blazing sun as well as we could. So in reality, the truth of the matter is all men are not created equal, because if we were, I'd be LeBron James or Muhammad Ali.
From that point of view, I can agree. But all I was just mentioning on the side of it is that those laws weren't meant for us, right?
That's true.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Because if you don't look at us as men, then what do you say?
You say what?
I said, if they didn't look at us as men and women, what do you say when you say all men are created equal?
Animals, they were looking at us as animals, weren't even human, property.
What they really meant to say was that all white men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
Which way white folk go?
Because they definitely wasn't talking about us. Their constitution is prostitution, though. Their constitution is prostitution. Babylon, the daughter.
Daughter of Babylon. Harlotry at its best. A
bunch
of lies.
Every religion and denomination on the face of the planet is right here in America. The biggest harlot.
Yep. Tell them everything they want but here, and don't give them a damn thing. That's what it is. That prostitutes tell you that. Prostitutes give you all kind of promises they never deliver. Truly. Well, not that I would know personally.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Oh, this family night?
Yep.
All right. Are we ready for Proverbs?
Yes, man.
Always ready for
Proverbs. Okay. Chapter 14. I think y'all gonna love this one. This is one of my favorites, too. I've got a lot of underlining. As I go further, there's a lot of underlining I got in these passages. Chapter 14. Every wise woman has built her house. That is so true. Foolish breaks it down with her hands.
Let's stop right there. First quarter. So me and Cartrell on the same, we ride the same horse on this one. See, that's the problem with our sisters today. Instead of building up their homes, investing in building up their homes, they must be on TikTok and food book and sneaky links and tearing down their houses. See, because they don't know what Yah says about what a home is. They don't know about building a home. They know this foolishness on TikTok, food book, and sneaky links and every other kind of link they got going on. But a wise woman, on the other hand, is not into that, man, because she ain't got no time for that nonsense. She's trying to build up a family. She know, because a family is a mini nation among many nations. And her contribution to a unification process is ensuring the fact that her little mini nation is on the codification that they can unite with the other little mini nations to the nation. She knows she has a moral obligation, and she's duty-bound to do so. But a person living on food paradise, they doing the other hand. She pulls her own house down. She don't build up a house, her children, her man, her community. She destroys it. And every opportunity she gets, she's a fool. All right. I said that in a minute.
Okay. Verse 2.
I think Katria had something to say.
Oh, did you guess what to say, Katria?
Yeah, that extends to like the royal houses. You read about the brother yesterday, for the most part, I took him out of his position. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't see the influence that women have behind the scene. We could see some of the queens of the nation, like King Solomon's mother. She knew that she had to build up King Solomon, which is her house, in order for her to have her son, her family, to have a strong house. So it's not just, you know, the common person, but it extends all the way up to people who have positions of power, women who are in positions of power as well for the nation. Because King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, she definitely tore the house of King Ahab down.
Mm-hmm.
But she had the opportunity to build him up.
She got them both killed. Jezebel got her and her husband killed because of her tearing her house down instead of building it up.
Okay. Verse 2. He who walks in his straightness fears Yah, but he whose ways are crooked despises him. So therefore, you're an opposite of the Most High. You don't have no fear and you don't care. Some people curse him. I mean, it's just a mess.
In Joseph's situation,
mm-hmm.
Joseph walked the straight path in spite of his circumstance and condition. He sold by his brothers into slavery to the Egyptians, right? But he refused to walk a devious path, because one who is uprightness, one who walks in his uprightness fears Yah. And when Potiphar's wife approached Joseph, he told her, I ain't worried about Potiphar, I ain't worried about you. I'm worried about the Most High, how he sees me.
But what else did that suggest in prayer and imply, Contra, Sister Hootie? His mother raised him right. Rachel raised Joseph right. She built up the house. So the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Rachel, in spite of her shortcomings with the idols of her father, Laban, and so on and so forth, she knew to build up her house. Her household was Joseph and Benjamin. And she built them up. And she built them up under codification. And Joseph is a byproduct of that mother doing her job.
I think Jacob had a big impact on Joseph as well, because he was Papa's boy. Made him a coat that got his brothers jealous, and he didn't really have to go out in the field like his brothers did. He was sitting with his father. But the fact that both of them had impact, like Proverbs says, you have to listen to the counsel of your mother and your father, their jewels that they've given you. And you see that Joseph was strong enough to hold on to the teaching of both his mother and his father in order to avoid being devious, because he could have been devious. It says, but the one who is devious in his ways despises Yah. So Joseph could have been devious. Like, my brother sold me. I ain't heard from my father or my mother in years. I'm in Egypt. I might as well become Egyptian.
And I'm going to get up with Potiphar's wife. She want to knock me off. I'm going to do a sneaky lick. I'm going to get with her. Now, but he wasn't devious, because he knew for every action, there was consequences or reaction, because he knew Yah. He knew codification. And I agree with you, Cartrell. It's a mother and father. Because Yaakov, he was his favorite, because, you know, he loved him some Rachel. And Benjamin came his favorite after he thought he had lost Joseph. And so, because he loved him some Rachel. But now, that's why I said, people, be careful the words you cut. See, we talk too much. Be careful the words coming out your mouth. Because when Laban came looking for those household items, and Rachel was hiding on the wherever she was sitting, because she was pregnant, her daddy didn't want to disturb her. And Jacob put a curse upon her by the very words he said, which caused her death. So we need to be very careful the words that come out of our mouth. We think it's a game. Y'all say it ain't a game. If you're going to curse those to curse you, and bless those to bless you. But don't be just spouting words. And the Most High, since you heard it read yesterday, a fool body lies open to everybody because they talk too much. You just
can't
say everything about everything. You ain't got to say everything about everything, and you ain't got to talk about everybody about everything. And don't be putting curses on people. Be careful the words come out your mouth.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Can I finish, please?
Yes, ma'am. Sure. You might get it.
You didn't catch it, so I ain't going to say nothing.
You might get
a lot of talk. Go ahead.
You might get
In three, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise guard them.
They know the God's mouth. They know the God's mouth. God, your mouth. Stop saying everything that you think you want to say when you want to say it. Just because you said, I'm grown. That don't give you the right to say everything you want to say.
Where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. But from the strength of an ox comes much increase. Talking about land, talk about metaphor too. So if you have an ox, come much increase.
So see who did. What is basically saying? When you poke, and you clean and broke, poke. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing to come for.
Okay.
When you poke, you poke. You just clean.
Okay, now,
right. You ain't got nothing going on for you.
Five, be quiet. A trustworthy witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies, which I have witnessed that.
Praise God.
People will lie. A scoffer shall seek wisdom, but find none. But knowledge is swift to him who has understanding. So if you got understanding, you got knowledge. And it's swift to you. Like I said sometimes, when people say something you agree, you know by what it said is right. Sometimes. You can hear, you know it's righteousness in what somebody is saying. Now leave the presence of a foolish man, for you shall not perceive the lips of knowledge. A foolish man does not know knowledge.
So Zuli, stop the press. And that's what I'm talking about. TikTok, fools, books, and so on and so forth. I mean, when you see any folk talking all this foolishness, even in your personal life, in a personal level, what you wasting your time for? You know they're a fool, and they ain't going to be no better than a fool because that's what they want. Why are you all up in their face and carrying on and whatnot? Most of us get away from them.
The wisdom, verse 8, the wisdom of the clever is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. Fools scoff. They scoff at guilt. But among the straight, there is delight. The heart knows its own bitterness, but no stranger shares his joy. The house of the wrong is destroyed, but the tent of the straight flourishes. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So we can't use our own judgment because he said there's what we think is right. The end is what? Death.
If it's not codified.
Even, verse 13, even in laughter the heart is in pain, and the end of that joy is heaviness. The backslider in heart is satisfied with his own ways, but a good man is satisfied from his. Isn't that wonderful? The simple believes every word, but the clever one watches his steps. Yeah, that's when I say you don't believe every word. But the wise fears and turns away from evil. See, the wise fears and turns away from the evil. But a fool rushes on and is reckless. He who is impatient acts foolishly. That's why I always talk about patience. And a man who plans wickedness is hated. Because the simple shall inherit. No, I'm sorry. The simple shall inherit folly. But the clever are crowned with knowledge. The evil one shall bow before the good, and the wrong ones at the gate of the righteous. The poor is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who shows favor to the poor, oh, blessed is he.
You know something? Any comments?
Do not those who plan evil go astray. It's a question. Do not those who plan evil go astray, but kindness and truth are to those who plan good. So it's good to plan. In all labor there is profit. The talk of the lips leads only to poverty. Loose lips. The crown of the wise is their wealth. The folly of fools is folly. True witness saves lives. But he who breathes out lies is a betrayer. Verse 26. In the fear of Yah is strong trust, and his children have a place of refuge. The fear of Yah is the foundation of life. To turn away from the snares of death. In a multitude of pride is a king's splendor, but in the lack of people is the ruin of a prince. He who is patient has great understanding, but he who is short of spirit exalts his body. A healthy heart is life in the body, but envy is rottenness to the bone. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he also esteems him, shows favor to the needy. I'm an advocate for the poor. By his own evil doing, the wrong is thrust down, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. And even among fools, it becomes known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to people. The king's delight is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is towards him who causes shame. Shalom.
Shalom.
You have problems. This is a lie. What I like is 12. There is a way in which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Like you were saying earlier about when people think they're grown, that it's a lot of examples of people think they're right, no matter what, their own way.
Well, Sister Hootie, we've been running around here for 1 or 2 years screaming that we've grown. But it's the unqualified grown. It's been their way. It's not been the Most High way. It's not been codified grown. It's been uncodified grown, which is grown boys and grown girls, pretending to be grown, and don't run nothing. But we don't need no more uncodified grownness. We need codified grownness. Because this uncodified grownness has gotten us where we are today, leaning to our own understanding, and doing everything we want to do, and it's not working for us, and it ain't cute. That uncodified beating on your chest. Tell me, I don't need no man. Grownness. Codified.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working. And when does reality set in for us? Man, we've been doing this for 1 or 2 years. The feminism, the patriotism, according to universal white race supremacists. If it's not codified, it's not going to work for you. If it's not the Most High footsteps, which is your pathway, it's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the men and our nation have been beating their chest talking about their man. The women saying they don't need no man. All that's uncodified. That's why it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Verse
27. Hallelujah. You're right. (Clears throat) You know, thinking about verse 20, the poor is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends.
You said verse 20?
20.
You said 20.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's
poor. Go ahead.
I'll just read what you said.
The poor is hated, because yours be, you know, maybe a different thing. The poor is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends.
So-called friends. Fair weather friends.
Well, we know. When I look at the homeless situation, I guess that's one I've been, that's one of my
pet peeves.
Well, no. Kind of semi-mission. Get people to be aware. Because it can happen to you. I don't care what nobody say. It can happen to you. You can think not. You may not want not. But it can happen. Because we're under the jurisdiction of this nation. And its laws are subject to these laws. And if you're not, and the commentary had a point, that these, a lot of these people aren't drug addicts. They just opt out living a certain kind of way, which is the American way. And a lot of people are trying to keep up. But you discussed it many times throughout your broadcast through the year. And we're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like them. We're so, you know, but we're constantly talking. If we don't have, it's institutionalized, even with our children. It may sound it, you know, when you go back to school, especially in elementary, you got to have something new. I don't know who started that tradition. I remember growing up, that first day of school, everybody got to wear something new. Where did that start? You got to have new shoes, new clothes, new dress, new this, new that. It's from middle school, high school, too. High school, where did that start? And that, even though it may seem innocent, look what it took us when we become adults. We're so much in material things and having stuff. So if you're poor, nobody gonna like you. But why? Because you don't live up to their standards? And then we're patient. This society says in 29, he who is patient has great understanding, but he who is short of spirit exalts thoughts. May read a little bit different. Let's see here. He that takes the slow of wrath has great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit. Okay, a little similar with another. So when a lot of people are impatient, they told me instead of my middle name Precious, it should be patient because I'm so patient. And sometimes it's misjudging, thinking that I'm allowing people to run over me, but that's not so. Because I find that in the end or eventually they get theirs anyway. It never fails. It never fails. When I had a relative try to pull the wool over me about a car, I end up not selling it. She thought it was wrong, but it was right because I opened my mouth and I said something. I let it go. I sold the car. She got a car from one of her children, but guess what? Less than 6 months, she ain't got no car now. Because it's the mentality. When you had that mentality, I knew that was going to happen because of the way she drove and what she was doing. I said, mm-mm. That car ain't going to, and it sure didn't. And the person that gave it to her said, I don't know why, and I ain't had them problems. But in 6 months, she ain't had a car. Because what I dealt with her on a righteous level, I didn't deal with her mind game. She used mind game. I didn't.
Well,
I mean, go ahead.
Their lack of codification, because of a lack of codification, we become a monstrosity. And that is to be expected when it comes to us. Anybody that's not codified with Yah under the unification process, all of us are monstrosity. And the only way we get out of that monstrosity is to be codified and unified. Otherwise, we're going to remain what we've been socially engineered conditioned to be, Which way the white folks?
Mm-hmm.
Which way the white folks go? What the white folks say?
Yeah, but we are
for diversity, right?
But you know, I look at us first, our issue, and you know, it's a love hate kind. Because in the process, I've seen such great things we've done, and yet we're so far from, like you said, that unification to a certain extent. But I think a lot of us are getting out there and doing what they're supposed to do. And I give them kudos. I give them respect. I give them honor for doing what they're supposed to do, just get out there and go for what they know and just walk in dignity. Because there's a lot of you that are doing good work. I beg
the difference, sister. The reason why I beg the difference based upon the codification process. The mm-hmm. Most High said only one-third is going back. Two-thirds mm-hmm. are social engineered in condition and a monstrosity. And they love what they're doing. They're not trying to change it. They want to stay here. They want to be on the Supreme Court. They want to be the big nigga on the plantation. They don't want codification and unification. They want to be part of the process. They want to be loved by the oppressors. So I can't agree with you on that.
Well, I have to give acknowledgement to the ones that are doing mm-hmm. because I know what you're saying. You're saying if there are people out there that are doing positive things, and they're not selfish.
Right, the one-third on the codification.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Right.
Patriel? Got anything to say? You know, y'all feel like I could talk all night.
He ain't by himself. But anyway.
He shut you up on that, didn't he? I'm calling the color black. He got you, didn't
he? I love that. Patriel got the drive.
That's my friend to the end.
He got that dry humor. Go ahead.
I like verse 32. Because the Most High said the wicked is thrust down by his own wrongdoing. There's consequences to your action. This throws Christianity out the window. If you're doing wickedly, you're going to be thrust down for the wrong that you're doing. But listen to this. It says, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies. What does that mean? Oh. We've been trying to tell you that Yah restores souls. How do you have a refuge when you die? Oh, because right. Yah can restore and preserve your soul. So you might have missed that, but it's right in there, right before your eyes.
Yeah.
The righteous has a refuge when he dies? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you talked about the oppressors that we live under. And there's not supposed to be any poverty in the earth because the Most High furnished the earth and flourished the earth with enough food to feed every living thing. It's just that people who are in control, they withhold good from the people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
This part where it says, give me one second.
Mm-hmm. Take all the time you need. Take your time you need.
A trustworthy witness will not lie. And it's people who oppress us have not proven themselves trustworthy, but a false witness declares lies. A trustworthy witness will not lie. So we talk about, last year, January 6th, they called mm-hmm. it the big lie. Donald Trump, he's saying that he won. And people believe him. And many of the things that they say to us are trustworthy, and they've been declaring lies to us from jump. So why do we trust them to try to make them change their habits, their nature? All they've been telling us is lies, making promises that they don't keep. But it shows that we're not sensible.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way. But the foolishness of fools is deceit. So we're deceiving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that these people are going to change will be any different after 402 years and counting.
Lying to ourselves and on each other. We love it.
Mm-hmm. See.
The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. These are just verbs that should pass our head. You don't want to be walking in the path of wickedness because you will be destroyed. That's bottom up of Yah. And if you're not walking an upright path, then you're in trouble. Because there's a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. Everybody gonna die. What's that mean? Good or bad, everybody gonna die. No, we've seen it. Even the good, when they die, have a place of refuge. Okay, you're not paying attention.
You know what?
A tranquil heart is life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones. So we wonder why we're sick. Maybe it's that jealousy you got of one another. You shouldn't be jealous of one another.
Right.
If you deal with yourself, you have confidence in yourself, you have a connection with the Most High, your heart should be tranquil. And should give life to your body because you're not stressed out.
All right.
So they say disease, right? It means dis-ease. Disease, dis-ease. You're not at ease. Maybe because your thoughts and your spirit, you're slow, you don't have no patience, you're quick to anger, you're jealous. That's killing you inside.
Right.
And I'm patient because I'm going to get my cheeseburger this weekend. I'm patient. I'm making light of it. I'm patient.
Are you gonna get a special cheeseburger or just a regular McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's?
No, none of them. Nope. Some real hamburger, real, not no fake, pumped up stuff.
Are you gonna make it yourself?
Right. I'm gonna get the stuff. Or either one of my children gonna make them, them old fashioned cheeseburgers with lettuce and tomatoes and cheese. Whew.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yes, brother.
You remember Wimpy?
Yes, I do. He's the one that always big. He would, if you bought him a hamburger, he would.
Gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger
today. Today. I know it's going to be
there. Yeah, on Popeye.
Yeah.
Wimpy. You sound like
but
Wimpy, Mama.
But I fat. Wimpy was chubby.
Yeah.
He say that about the hamburger. He loved those hamburgers, I'm telling you.
Man, what you said? Oh, Wimpy loved the hamburger.
Right. When I went grocery shopping one day, I looked at the White Castle. I was like, nope. No, no, no.
No, you don't want that prefab.
No.
Too much soda in it and whatnot. You make your own White Castle. You know what I mean?
Horse meat, kangaroo meat. Who knows?
Huh?
Horse meat, kangaroo meat, who knows?
Yeah, you're right. Because I stopped eating them a long time ago. I said, something going on with this meat.
Wendy's? Not Wendy's, but the White Castle.
White Castle, yeah.
Yeah.
And every burger joint got the bacon to go along with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. And you did ask for a salad, man. I didn't ask for a salad, y'all. I ain't asked for no bacon. I get home, it's bacon. I ain't asked for no bacon on no salad.
That's why you got to check. I learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I check. And they now some, it depends on where you live. I guess some of them start checking now, the fast food workers.
Right.
Because I said, wait a minute. If I'm in the car, I said, hold on, let me check. I check my stuff.
Right. Yeah, you have to check. Me and my wife and I, we went to Here's to get a burger.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there because twice we went to them. And they would burn the okra or the potatoes. And I went in and I said, look here, this is third time around. If you lose, you do. I said, don't burn the okra or the the potatoes or whatnot. And they didn't. You know, so... And we got a burger at Huey's.
Mm-hmm.
Good burger.
Mm-hmm.
But they would manhandle the okra or the potatoes or the onion rings.
Mm-hmm. What? Really?
Yeah.
See?
The onion ring was so dry, if they burnt them, you would eat an onion ring, you would crunch it on a dried onion ring.
Oh, my God. And you used to run a place, a restaurant, so you know.
Oh, yeah. At certain minutes. Right, there's certain minutes, Sister Hootie, that you put food in the deep fryer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it don't take but 2 or 3 minutes.
Right.
I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, well, my parents used to own a restaurant. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that food was delicious. But people don't cook like they used to anymore anyway. Some don't.
Well, you got the COVID-19 people up in there. Folks ain't never cooked nothing in their life. They had COVID-19 people. They just cook any way they want. Uncodification, as I said.
But right. It's true. We see what's in Proverbs. We see it in Proverbs 14. We see it almost every day. We see the foolish
right.
man. We see people who are impatient. We see people that are just don't have no kind of joy, ready to cuss you out. So
right. They ain't happy. But what is that saying, Sister Hootie and Cottrell? Misery loves company. And
loves
hurt
company.
People and hurt people hurt people.
King Solomon saw Fool's Book before it ever came online to be a production.
I foresee it, y'all.
I agree with that one, Cottrell. I agree with that.
So stay far away from it, because fools, all they do is practice foolishness. All right?
And that's all they talk about. I mean, because I try to put, but I'm just like a drop of water in an ocean of fools. A drop of water in an ocean of fools.
It says the wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit.
Mm.
He said, leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. You on Fool's Book, you ain't learning that.
No.
Not getting into arguments.
Yeah.
And personal attacks.
Yeah, that's all they do. That's all they do. All right, so Shahuda and Cottrell. Turned on every leaf and every stone and did a critical analysis of this Proverbs, and I believe we did it justice. Now it's time to give some thanksgiving and praise to the Most High. It's family.
Yeah, what about, can I, oh yeah, you said Avia? We on the same wavelength. I was thinking
Avia,
about our gatekeeper.
Yeah, Avia is going to come on first.
Good.
When we start giving praise and thanksgiving to the Most High. I think she has a commentary also,
great.
But we're going to bring her on first. May the Most High bless you, Aviyah. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family.
Bless you,
Aviyah.
Yeah,
bless.
God bless you.
Yes, you. All right, Sister Hootie. Now you hear my mouth for a little bit.
I want to.
Yeah, I had heard it before. And I said, well, maybe the board was blocked or something. I said, because they always tell me I need to say something. And then when I chime in, nobody going to let me in. But anyway, this morning, the first thing I did, well, of course, is to praise Yah, thank him for another day. And I thank him for everybody that's living still around and thank him for the food. I'm just grateful for everything. But then I went straight into the scriptures and began reading. And as soon as I got to chapter 14, I agree with just about everything everybody said. Like Yansu, you say the woman, and Cartel saying the woman to build the house and the help with the man, build a man. But
right. What
about, you didn't think about what if a woman is widowed or single, she still has to build her own house, and by making it strong. It's
right.
not, I don't think it's always about the woman just building the home for the man. It's like
right.
I said, because we got a lot of single women out here and widows.
I agree with you. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a man there, such as Avia. But If there's a man there, it's gravy for him. And then again, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, if there's not a man there, she still needs to be villainized. I don't think she'd be laying down just because a man isn't there. She should, a man there or not, she still should be building her house up, her church up, herself up, and so on and so forth.
That's right. That's what I was thinking also. But this, when I first read that, I started praising y'all right then. I said, because he brought me a long way. I had to stop, look back. And, you know, I didn't have no easy road. But I tell you one thing, I know y'all brought me through each and every step. Otherwise, I would not be here. And I am so grateful for that. My children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, he has done mighty work for me. And I am so blessed.
Praise God. And you're certainly correct, Abby. You're certainly correct in your analogy of what we said. It doesn't necessarily have to be a man there. If a man is not there, is she supposed to lay down and let the house go in? And, no. Whether he there or not, she should be building up her home.
Yes, because I was saying now, if it was all built around the man, I'm thinking to myself, then I would be like a harlot having a different man up in my house trying to help. And I'm not about that. So,
I'm not Jezebel.
And y'all was talking about, which one was it? Oh, 21.
Right.
The verse 21.
Uh-huh.
See, now that just goes to show you, I still do a lot of praying and ask y'all to guide me and forgive me, because sometimes I get caught off guard when somebody comes to, I was trying to take a nap. And all of a sudden the bell just kept buzzing and buzzing and buzzing, and everybody know you don't come here unless you let me know you're coming,
right.
Or something. So anyway, I jumped up and I opened the door, and it was the girl from upstairs. She had lost her key to the doors downstairs, so she pressed my button.
Okay.
All right, so I let her in. She says thank you and everything. I say you're welcome. So instead of her just going on and, you know, but what she went on, but what she should have did was say what she needed once she got me up the first time. She waited for about maybe 15 minutes, and I came back and got comfortable. And then she rings the bell again, talking about, can you lend me $15? And I was ready to explode. Well, I did explode a little bit. Because made me agitate. But then I had to stop, and I thought about it. And I told her, just hold on. So I came, and I gave her, a 20, and told her, don't worry about it. Finally, my peace back. But when I thought about it, I had to stop and say, thank you, Father, because I was ready to get out of character and tell her where to go. And
come on,
that's
now.
Not
keep it real. You were ready to rock them sock and robots on that girl.
Yeah, but see, I don't like nobody disturbing my peace.
Exactly.
That's enough. I had to stop, and I thank y'all for, because it's so much that's showing me, and even being in these studies, it makes me stop dead in my tracks when I'm about to do something that's not right, that I wouldn't want done to me. And that goes to the verse that was like Sister Hootie was the other one, when it says, Sister Hootie was speaking on it about being, it's like having empathy for others when they don't have something. So I remember the days when I had to have somebody help me and give me constantly. And you know, I know what it's like not to have. So how can we be the, if we have something and then see our brothers and sisters out here begging and you won't even reach out to help? It's just
You're right about that. You're certainly right about that.
steady. I would reach out and help anybody. Sometimes, one time I had a conversation with Brother Contrell, and I said, I think you're too giving. And Contrell had corrected me there. He said, no, you're not. He said, that's the way you're supposed to, you know, it's how it is. If you have it, you're supposed to do it. But I've learned so much from this show, and I wanted to say thank you. And one more tip for Sister Hootie. You know that hamburger you aching for?
Yes.
You know what you should do? Have you ever tried putting oatmeal and making your hamburgers?
Well, only when I used to cook meatloaf, I put oatmeal, and I used to put breadcrumbs. You talking about put it in your hamburger?
Yeah.
If you make your hamburger with the oatmeal, it come out much better also.
It does. It does. It'll fill it out, Abby, y'all. It makes it plump. And the oats in it and is healthier for you, too.
That's it. Okay, so what I want to also say, I love you, family. And Shalom, stay safe. And stay warm, and may God bless us all.
But you stay warm and safe, and no harm comes to you, that you continue to walk in the Most High. Keep striving, because we always think about you, and we always pray and meditate for you.
Oh, thank you. I know y'all got my back, so I don't worry. But it's good to know I got brothers and sisters, too.
Praise God.
We all need a tribe.
Right. I hope you use that recipe that Avion has brought to your attention. It's healthy. It feels like your burger make them much juicier and everything. So that being said, Sister Hootie, what's your praise or thanksgiving for the Most High?
I like 29. I'm going to go with this, that maybe we can. Got it. You have to desire it. When he says, he who is patient has great understanding.
Right.
If you don't have patience, you don't have that great understanding. Grow in it. You may have understanding in maybe other areas, but he said if you don't have patience.
Right.
And sometimes we mix up patience with people wanting help, but maybe that sister didn't know that you were napping. And if she did she know?
No, she didn't. That's why I said I had to catch myself, you know, and I had to stop, you know?
Right.
And I did also, like I told somebody else the other day, somebody texted me for something. But when she asked for the money, now, I know the girl got children. So if you ask me for something, I know you got children, and she don't drink or she don't carry on, she don't be out here in the street. So why would I tell her, well, make sure you pay me back? I tell her, no, you just go ahead. It's all right.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's just at the point, like, when I get frustrated when I'm in my mode where I'm taking my nap, or even if I'm up, if I'm in a peaceful mode, and it seems like garbage, foolishness come. First of all, you don't leave the house without your keys. How did you lock your door upstairs? You left that door open up too? But then again, I thought about that. I said maybe she had the keys separate. So I'm learning. And just like you said, trust me, sis, my patience, sometimes I think my patience will wear out, and I just pray for more, and y'all seem to give me more. So my patience will not run out. I'm not giving in.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, Sister Hootie, are you done?
Sir.
Are you done?
Right.
Praise and thanksgiving.
Yes. And Shalom, everybody, and peace be with them, but I'm still staying on the line.
Thank you very much. Contrell, may the Most High bless you. Do you have any praise or thanksgiving to the Most High?
Hallelujah. I always want to give thanks and praise to the Most High for my life, my health, my strength, for even bringing me, you know, in tune and in connection with you all. I just hope that this study that we're doing impacts a lot more people and influences our people to do the right thing in the eyes of the Most High. and it helps us grow stronger spiritually, and it helps to unite us better as a people. I'm thankful for the role that he's given me with the Council of Elders with the United Nations of Israel, and I pray that he will bless our hands in the work that we're doing in behalf of our nation, trying to gather our people. So much insight in these classes. I don't take it for granted, because you can always learn something new, you know, from various perspectives. So I'm thankful for these studies. I'm thankful to Yah for all things and everything. Praise Yah. May the Most High bless us.
Oh, God, cocktail. That's a good one. Yes, that's
good. Robert?
Okay. Patrick, are you there, my brother?
Uh-huh. But thank I like this. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm listening, Patrick. I'm listening.
Go ahead. We're listening.
King Solomon, the foolishness of fools is simply foolishness. Verse 24.
Praise Yah. So
we got to get out of the foolishness that we're in and come to our sensibility.
Praise Yah. Well, since everybody picking from Proverbs 14 to get some praise and thanksgiving, yeah, I'm going to do something too. I'm going to take verse 31st. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. And he who orders him have mercy on the needy. So I like to, as Sister Hootie said, and Sister Abigail says, and Katriel says all the time, and you got it, somebody asks you for, show the love. Because otherwise you're reproaching that person maker, who's the eye maker. And you got it, show the love. And as Abigail said, it wasn't going to hurt me one way or another. So I showed the love. Sister Hootie mentioned it. Katriel mentioned it all the time. When he helps individuals in the nation. I know he does. So that should be our philosophy that the Most High says, because it's reflective of your character as far as the Most High is concerned. So when opportunity presents itself, when it comes to me, I utilize, I say, man, don't worry about it. It don't matter because it don't mean nothing. But I'm not reproaching my maker, because your maker is my maker. So if I got it, you need it, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I'm going to play my part, what part I played in it. So let's ensure, as Abigail said, that we play our part when it comes to each other, when it comes to strangers, and so on and so forth. And I praise Yah for this opportunity to learn this. You know, the more you got don't make you happy, but the more you do for people makes you happy. So let us learn to do for people to say, well, I got it, you get yours. That's not going to make you happy. So I'd like to praise Yah for that, having that codification mindset. I'd like to praise and thank Yah for having an opportunity to study with brothers and sisters such as Yehudi, such as Abigail, such as Katriel on this study session. Because it doesn't stop till the casket drops. And it should. I'd like to thank Yah, as Katriel said, for all I have and all I am to be. I'd like to thank the Most High for the opportunity to have my soul restored for his name's sake, my health restored for his name's sake, a new heart and a new spirit for his name's sake. So I can allow his footstep and be humble toward his footstep to direct and order my pathways. I'd like to thank the Most High for Abigail, our gatekeeper. Sister
Hallelujah.
Sister Hootie, one of the investigative students. Katriel, one of the investigative students. And you, fellow students, and radio ladies. Praise the Most High and bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
That being said, students, we don't know where y'all going. But you finna, Katriel gets on me about this. You finna, Katriel, what is finna? Well, you finna get ready to get out of here.
I'm still looking that word up in the dictionary. I don't see it.
Hey, Sister Abigail and Sister Yehudi, I said, Katriel, I got some information for my sister today. My great-grandfather name was Elijah. It was born in 1887. When he was born, let me get it correct. Okay, that information was 1887. Meaning my grandfather was a slave. He was 11 years old in 1865. That paperwork was 1887, and my grandfather was 33 years old. And so meaning my grandfather was enslaved under universal white race supremacy until he was 11 years old in 1865. Matter of fact, he's the same height as I am. He was a farmer, and shows our connection with, still connection with the land. My father was born 1921. He was a farmer working for my brother, who had the land of our grandfather. And my brother, my daddy was working for my uncle, who had that land, and my daddy was listed as a farmer. So we should stay connected with our people. We should stay connected with the land, because therein lies some solution for us. Because we said it on the show tonight. If you're not in control of your food source, you're at the mercy of your oppressors. So?
So where is that land? Y'all still got
the land? Okay, I have a first cousin. That's on the land. He's on the land. My grandmother had had a house built on it. It was family land, but he had been living on it for years and paying taxes. So we said, forget about it. He got trailers that he ran out to people and whatnot. He's a cousin, you know, y'all. He's a good cousin. You know, we don't bump heads. I mean, blood's thicker than water. And we don't bump heads. You know, he said, man, y'all come live down here. I said, no, that's okay. You've been paying the property on the land and whatnot. You know, we good. So, as a matter of fact, it's the road behind grandmother's house. Surely, the house was turned away from how they were backwards. But when the fire happened to the house, so the house was turned around. But the road that they put it on was built after my father's, with a slave named Killebrew. So because of my family had an impact upon that community. It still does. So I thank y'all for that, to be able to connect with family. We try to get away from family. That's our problem. But family is the most important.
It's another history.
Family is the most important. It's the dynamic of a nation.
Family is a mini unit
of a nation, right.
Like you said, it's good to know the history.
Yes, ma'am. And it's a mini unit of a nation. That's why that woman's building up a house, regardless of a man there or not. She understands the concept. This is a mini unit of a nation. She understands. And Sister Abby, I'm glad you brought that out, because that is so important. Just because you ain't got no man there, just because you ain't got no woman there, that don't mean you lay down on the nation.
That's right.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
And I appreciate you for saying that.
I'm going to be in the garden. That's where I'm going to be when we go back.
But you know, Avia, that was so beautiful. It shows how much we've grown on this study session. I mean, you supersede us, and we've been here longer than you. We missed that vital point that you picked up on, and that's why we realized that it don't matter how long you been in this, how short a period of time. When y'all opened your eyes up, sometimes people been in a long time, miss something, and people been in a short time, sees every day. And like
that's
I said, you missed that.
I meant to say to Sister Hootie,
yes.
My thing, when you said I should speak, like you would like to hear me speak more,
mm-hmm.
My thing is I'm not a speaker. I don't really talk. My thing is action, and my emotions drive me.
So when you don't hear from me, don't think that I don't be thinking or listening to y'all, because I'm on it. I'm on it. Anything that gets me closer to y'all, I'm going intake, and I'm here. So never doubt that I'm not around, though.
Oh, well, I want to say this. Wait a minute, youngster. I've come to the conclusion.
Yeah.
I accept any time that you come over and speak.
Well,
well,
like
Abby, Abby, we certainly missed that vital point, and you pointed that to us. So we know you're on your A game. That's for certain.
Well, thank you. As
great
said, job. Toda, right? Toda.
Toda.
Love
it. Oh, you got to do it. You try to do a Sister Hooties. You know, she's good for a toda on you. She'd be a toda on you and gone. Oh, you know, I didn't call her. I said, Sister Hooties. Sister Hooties. I said, maybe she got her phone turned off, Katya. Sister Hooties. She told her I'm gone.
I thought I was blocked on the radio show because I kept chiming in. I said, maybe you blocked it.
No, I don't block it. But when I turn your mic on, normally leave it on. Because so Judy,
no,
I think
it's... Not like when you used to say, well, if you want to chime in. And so I pressed 1, and it never makes that sound no more.
It doesn't?
I kept pressing 1.
Because, you know, I finally noticed it in closing. That's why I gave you the ample opportunity to express yourself. And so, I didn't notice it.
Was blocked or something.
Well, no, Sister Abby is correct about that. When I get to talking sometimes, I talk so much I forget that I'm talking. So,
yeah.
Sorry about that. But now Cartier got her told because he told her, you too?
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to say that, but he brought it up again. I was saying, that's what I was going to chime in when you was talking. And
right.
I was saying to myself, I said, she always talking about how Cartier, I have brother Yam Su. Always talking. I said, now listen to her. I can't even get in the
phone. Katya got her toe. And Katya shut that down quick.
That's funny.
Yeah, he said, look who's talking.
Yeah.
I could help the land.
I just better be glad I'm not long-winded. I couldn't, but I'm not.
Well, you are sometimes, but you see the difference with you is not. I don't want y'all to take this wrong. You're more historical. You give people the background to get them to understand the what's going on.
Y'all shouldn't do that too.
Well. You talk more what happened then. He talks about today. I have two, you know, he talks more of what's going on today.
No, you can say because I say both of them do the same, Sister Hootie, also. But maybe you understand Cotriel's way of expressing it more than you, you know, understand
Yasu's way
of expressing it.
That's true. We used to be reading cards.
I think you're correct on this level, so Judy. Cartrell, there's more in ancient time and the futuristic time, whereas I dive on that and I throw in modern day activities. You're correct. I throw in modern day activities that are going on. But you're not off point. So, yeah, we both do the same thing. But I just
at the end of the whole conversation, it all boils down to the same thing. It's just the way y'all express it. That's all.
Right. It's all good. I ain't saying nothing negative. It's all good. I just, there's certain differences.
See?
Yeah.
You want me to talk now, aren't you? You're getting sick of my mouth.
I like to have a dialogue with you like you're doing now.
I love you all. Shalom.
Love you
love
too.
You too.
Oh, well,
hallelujah.
I love each of you, and I have the high regard and esteem for you and common courtesy. And I want to say this to the in closing. You don't need a new heart and a new spirit to walk this way. King Darwin knew this. So I would suggest to you that you go to the Most High tonight in prayer and go to him every night till you get it. Ask for a new heart and a new spirit. That heart will be humble and contrite toward the Most High and not be sorry because you're caught, but sorry because you're really wrong, and to activate real conversion to right way and the right path, and be contrite to one another. A new heart which would be reflective of King David, because the Most High said King David is a man after my own heart, meaning and suggesting that that's the kind of heart you should have. Heart would love the Most High with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, and all his strength, and his brothers and sisters as himself. Meaning that King David loved himself. Now, he wasn't stuck on stupid, and he didn't love himself because he thought he was something special. He loved what he looked like in the mirror. Because it's virtually impossible to love anything that virtually looks like you if you can't love what you look like in the mirror. So, and thirst after righteousness. Please, I implore you, we implore you, ask the Most High for a new heart and a new spirit. We love you. May the Most High bless you and direct and order your steps. Sister Avia. Y'all want to say shalom, good night. See, you wouldn't want to be here.
Shalom, family.
Have a safe and pleasant weekend. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, shalom. Lala Tov.
Lala Tov, everybody, and stay positive. Shalom.
Praise Yah. Shalom. And good night.
Remember.